Today in the show, we have Fireblox registering in New York, Vodafone PowerPoint pairing SIM cards and blockchains, AgriDex, and much more. I'm your host, Mauricio Magaldi, and this is BlockDrops, your weekly digest on blockchain for business. These news are not a form of endorsement, sponsorship, or encouragement for consumption, and are meant for educational purposes only. In the first drop today, we're going to talk a little bit about a new development in crypto custody with Fireblox, the technology provider for institutional custody. That's probably one of the most prominent in this space, having registered this month with the New York Department of Financial Services and is now waiting their regulatory approval to establish a trust company that is going to offer crypto custody cold storage to U.S. clients. So this is a very interesting development in the institutional market, because usually the appetite for digital assets in institutions is a direct indicator of the wealth coming into crypto from these large players that are starting to dip their toes into crypto as an asset class. This is a slight departure on the vision that Fireblox is based on, which is empowering institutions to hold their own assets. And now as a trust, they will act as an intermediary between whoever is the client and their digital assets by becoming this trust. So according to Adam Levine, who's the Fireblox SVP of partnerships, he says, it's a very interesting quote here, and I'll quote, "We continue to believe everything we said about the importance of holding your own assets, and at no point we're walking that back. But what's becoming abundantly clear is that there's a lack of qualified custodians in the United States that are able to focus on digital assets," end quote. Very interesting take, because that means that there is demand from institutions to get qualified custodians, but there isn't a lot of offer on that space, especially within the kind of current, not exactly clear regulatory framework. So what is interesting is also that they are applying at the state level, but there are inconsistencies between a local state jurisdiction and the federal jurisdiction, according to the current ongoing SEC ruling that narrows the types of institutions that can provide that type of service, right now limiting only for broker-dealers and the federally chartered banks. This obviously creates this situation where the registration is not exactly clear. So, I'll quote Adam again, "Our position is not to poke at any regulator, any political party, or the government. We're just applying the existing rules and existing framework. We know there's a business need based on clients, based on the market opportunity. We understand what the current regulatory framework is in SAB 121 as it is in the current view of federal regulators and state regulators. We believe that pursuing the trust license and becoming a qualified custodian was the right approach," end quote. I'm not going to fight Fireblox on that, because I think there is no vacuum, right? There is no vacuum. There is a sound opportunity of someone who just up until very recently was a technology provider. Even when I spoke to some of the Fireblox team in the past, and I said, "Oh, you guys, you know, doing custody," and they're like, "No, we're not doing custody. We provide infrastructure for custody providers." And that was a very strong distinction that the team made when addressing this type of circumstance, because, you know, words matter. Words have a weight, especially when you're dealing with regulators. And the fact that they're now applying for a license in the state of New York with their Department of Financial Services means that they are moving from being a technology provider into being a financial services company in that space. And what's more interesting is that it's not just New York. They are creating a global network of qualified custodians, mostly on where they already operate with partners that they already have, in the US, obviously, the United Arab Emirates, Britain, Singapore, Thailand, and Australia, which means that the demand for institutional custody from qualified custodians is a global phenomenon, especially when it comes to digital assets, meaning the tokenization of real-world assets is something that will require those types of capabilities. And this is a very interesting movement. We're going to keep our eyes on this. The second drop today is a very interesting combination of technologies. This one started with Vodafone back in 22 when they launched a blockchain network called the Digital Asset Broker with the goal of enabling IoT devices, Internet of Things devices, to make financial transactions. And over time, they partnered with Sumitomo, who then partnered and they created a joint venture called PairPoint. And PairPoint is now looking to use that infrastructure, partnering with other account abstraction features, which is a way of wallets, smart contracts acting as wallets on behalf of users, to enable tokenized deposits networks to bring in some of that value to the IoT devices, allowing device-to-device payment. One of the networks that they reference here is the Onyx, JP Morgan's Onyx, that is ripe with tokenized deposits. The way the PairPoint works is that it serves as a blockchain middleware. So applications that are operating in the IoT space don't have to directly interact with a blockchain. So according to David Palmer, who's the chief product officer at PairPoint, he says, and I quote, "We act as a middleman for large enterprises that wish to write to a public blockchain. These large financial services companies can link to Vodafone's blockchain. It is logged there, and then a smart contract using things like account abstraction allows cross-chain interoperability," meaning that you can have a complete field of IoT devices, and they will reach into this layer to identify themselves. And then that is the layer that then calls other blockchains and bridges to get to the tokenized deposits interaction. Right now, they're using IoT devices that are powered with SIM cards. So they pair the SIM card with additional identity software so they can identify which device is actually acting on chain. And then they turn that into the device passport, meaning that if the device is moving, then they know that that's the one device that's been moving and that it's registered on chain because the SIM card is a correspondence to that identity layer. Right now, the type of usage is mostly constrained to automotive applications, widespread, and cargo tracking. But there is a lot more potential. The goal is to get the SIM card to also be the hardware that secures digital wallets on smartphones, which obviously creates a huge potential in payments and identity with the use of that in device. So, excuse me. PairPoint is not, that's not just what PairPoint is doing. They have a MasterCard and EnergyWeb interaction that is connecting electric vehicles and communicating the vehicles with the charging stations and clearing that transaction as well. They also have a another tracking venture with Aventis for tracking cargo at the airport. Aventis is big in the airport space. They also partner with Deloitte and Hapag-Lloyd to do the blockchain cargo ID and tracking, so more traceability. They have collaborated with Chainlink Labs to use CCIP, which is Chainlink's cross-chain interoperability protocol, and use that with Inowave in the international trade used for electronic bill of lading, the EBLs. And obviously that is big, especially here in the UK, since the introduction of the ETDA, the Electronic Trade Documents Act. So very interesting progress in the space. And Vodafone is a very unlikely player, but doing great things with the rest of the industry, especially pairing technologies such as IoT with the SIM cards and identity layer and payments integrated. You know, this is a huge pathway to what we call the self-liquidating assets. Because if you're pairing RWAs with actual IoT attached to them, then the bridge between physical and digital is much, much smaller. In the final drop today, I'm going to talk about something that caught my eye because of the headline, but the use case is much more interesting. It was one of the cases of, you know, come for the headline and stay for the use case type of article. This is the announcement of a marketplace called AgriDex that's running on Solana, and they raised $5 million, and they're doing something with tokenization of real-world assets, by and large agricultural commodities, and the goal is to tokenize this agricultural industry with the commodities contracts. So the way it works is that there is a trading marketplace like you would have for commodities in general. And once the deal is agreed upon the parties, it's signed and the deal is then registered on a non-fungible token, an NFT, with all of the data that deal has recorded. That contract is now also tradable on the marketplace, and it creates a very interesting enablement. It gets liquidity for the parties involved. So if you're a buyer or a seller involved in that deal, that means that you can actually sell the contract or NFT on a futures market and even hedge or protect the price of the commodities from that contract on a contract per contract basis, which is very interesting. But it can also serve as a collateral. So if you're a farmer, you have a future receivable associated with that deal, and then you can actually go and do other deals with all sorts of suppliers in your ecosystem. According to the AgriDex website, you'll be able to interact with veterinarians, with the testing labs, processor, packing plants, regulators, legal distributors, retails, and even stores, depending on how far you want to take that tokenized asset, a tokenized deal, because it has a market value and the underlying commodities that are associated with that are now registered for everyone in that particular supply chain or value chain to see. So very clever and interesting. We've spoken about Agro Token here in the show before. Agro Token is an Argentinian startup. They operate in Argentina and in Brazil. According to this note, AgriDex is really focused on the sub-Saharan Africa and South African markets. And obviously, this is important because Africa is a huge agricultural landscape as well. And doing this on behalf of farmers will get credit better distributed and obviously creates a lot of opportunities both for farmers and for the distributors and the buyers themselves because of the efficiencies of this particular setup, because there's near instant settlement time, the data's out there, so there's a lot of disincentive for committing fraud. You can do a lot of traceability. I mean, I imagine that even the practical logistical data that can be added to the NFT as the crops move will be of interest to insurance companies, for instance. So this is all enabled by this transparent, shared, decentralized database, which is the blockchain. In this case, they're using Solana. So they are also planning to have set up a DAO with the utility token that is used for rewards, payments, and incentives across the ecosystem. It will be the governance token as well, so it will allow people to vote, and they will have a DAO to manage the platform, the members, and the interactions with the real world, according to their website. So, you know, when we see these things in markets that are especially primed for disruption, like the agricultural market, it's very exciting to see. And hopefully this will also mean that they're both stable coins, not only just a platform token, and even potentially in the future, a form of a CBDC or tokenized deposits that can help bring more liquidity into this particular market. In a week pack full of news, here's more. MetaMask launched a smart transactions feature to help users save millions on transaction fees. JP Morgan plans to open the Onyx platform to third-party applications in a boost for tokenization. Visa's stablecoin dashboard pointed only 10% of user-initiated transactions in April and stirs some controversy. Celo, a layer 1 blockchain, EVM compatible, had its community ratifying the plan to use Optimism's OP stack for a new layer 2 chain. They're becoming a layer 2 to Ethereum. Binance and KuCoin won registration from India's anti-money laundering regulator. And in Brazil this week, there's ETH Rio from May 13th to 15th at Porto Mara Valley. Gustavo Cunha's new book, Tokenization of Money, is launching in São Paulo May 13th at the Livraria da Vila in the JK Iguatemi shopping mall. And I will be doing an AMA about Midnight, the data protection partner chain to Cardano, with the folks at NIM. It's going to be Wednesday, May 15th at 5 p.m. UTC, 6 p.m. UK time, and 3 p.m. Brazil time. See you there. Catch us online. We're on Instagram at BlockDrops Podcast, on Twitter at BlockDrops Pod or Xerox Mauricio. We're on Lens at BlockDrops.Lens. We have a newsletter on LinkedIn. Write to us at BlockDropsPodcast@gmail.com. And you can listen to the Block Drops podcast at Spotify, iColab, Fabribund Tech, and all of the other major streaming platforms. Yay! Shout out to the people who share the links you will find in the episode notes. Anthony Day, Clarice Rajesh, Antonio Neto, Cássio Gusson, Gustavo Cunha, and Claudia Mancini. Don't forget to leave the ratings on your favorite player. This is all for today. Stay rare, stay weird. LFG.